It is Wednesday. SW Podcast Day. And y'all know what it is. We love SW Podcast Day because this is always the day we get to celebrate and hang out with y'all and catch up, talk about upcoming events and all the different things that's going on around the communities and with our people. So what's happening?
Whoo, Lord, it's Wednesday. It's the first Wednesday in March, to be exact. And that is a beautiful thing. That is a good thing. Hope y'all doing well, like Queen Shell said. But baby, it's Wednesday. It's SW Podcast. Y'all already know this is our day. Like, this is a national holiday. Every Wednesday. You better get on YouTube or Facebook and check out SW Podcast. We hope y'all having a good time. And before we even get started, we're going to go ahead and say thank y'all for the continuing to support us. We really appreciate it. We truly appreciate it. Shout out to last week, which last Wednesday, I thought that was fun. I had a good time at Working Class Wednesdays. That was my first time ever being back since 2018. And I actually have a good time. So shout out to everybody on Working Class Wednesdays. That was good. That was real good. Great time.
It was a good time, Queen. We did have a really good time. It was a lot going on. We got to see and witness their first their second continuation, or their continuation of Black to the Future. So that was real good. And I enjoyed that. I enjoyed seeing new faces, old faces, new businesses, other people that's getting their businesses out there even more, because a lot of people that were there, they are already doing big things.
Yeah.
But other people that were in attendance were introducing their business, and it was real nice to see. It was real wonderful to like exhibit and be a part of it and walk through and give them the opportunity to talk about themselves. So I enjoyed myself. I got in the crowd, and you know how I do.
Yeah, Queen was out there working. I got to give Queen all the credit for last week, y'all, because I ain't do shit. I ain't do shit. I did. I really did. I admit that, because I did. But Queen was out there, like, she really got out there in the crowd. Like, that's what's up.
Well, we really had a a good time though. Like, it was just, it was fun. It was a fun experience. The performances were good.
The information that people was giving.
Yes.
Was like very informative and stuff like that. Like that. Look, all I can say, if you've never been to one of the Working Class Wednesdays, go check it out.
Yeah, go check it out.
Go check it out. Like it's worth it. It's really worth it. Or start vending. Look, because I was looking, I was like, they better be happy we be doing this podcast on Wednesday, because they made it. I'm like, look, I got to get back to vending. Because I actually loved when I did vend, when I used to be a vendor with them. They started, what, 2016? Their second one that they did, I went from 2016 to 2018, vending with them every month. Me and Joe. So, and shout out to Freedom Train Radio Podcast family. Like, all us out there, the mix and stuff. I liked it. I really did like that, to be able to see Joe, to see Felicia. Like, that was real cool.
That was good. We had a real good time with our family out there.
Yes.
We got to chop it up. We got to move around with our family and just be able to catch up on some of the things that everybody got going on, because we all got real busy schedules and we don't get to like be able to get together like that. And to hang out at the event and also be a part of what they had going on, dog, we had a real good time.
It was good. And the cake was good. I forgot to tell you that. The chocolate cake. Once it became room temperature, that was good. That blueberry pound cake, once it became room temperature, which I like to warm mine up before I eat it.
Me too.
Baby, it was good. Like, it was real good. Yeah, it was real good.
I like moist, warm cake.
So big ups to Oh boy, I can't even remember. I just know he's South Carolina something. But most definitely, I see him again. I will be buying some more slices.
Yeah, he has some good cake though.
Yeah, it was real good. So,
what's going on? We're gonna jump into the show today. You know, thank you again for tuning in, and for our returned listeners and our returning commenters. You know, we always appreciate that y'all keep the party going, y'all keep the conversation flowing.
All in the comments.
And that's always important to us. We love people who come on and not afraid to you know, be a part of the conversation, give their dialogue, share what they feel, because mm-hmm. you know, you gotta be able to express yourself. You gotta be able to get things off your chest, because if you can't, even in a public atmosphere, it's got to be real hard for you to do it in your relationships.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
So we're gonna of course get on into the show today, and our quote of the day, because for one, I'm gonna tell y'all what we're talking about first before I tell you the quote of the day. I think I had this show written later down the road, probably like episode 115, because uh-huh. I keep ideas written, you know, and just come back to them and add to them. But I had this one put to the side like for like 15, 115 queen. So I didn't want to talk about it yet. Cause you know, we get a little bit too caring about people's feelings and trying to step lightly on conversations, and we gotta stop doing that. Like, the conversations have to be had.
Yeah. Oh, girl. Go ahead. I was just talking about this last night.
See, the conversations have to be had. They have to be had. So, this particular conversation is going to be why Black people, why we care so much about other things, other people, other races, issues, because we're born empathists. So we're going to have a conversation about that. We're going to jump into it full throttle as soon as, but we got some lead things leading into it as well, but we're going to jump into it full throttle after we discuss the quote of the day. And the quote of the day is, racism is not merely a simplistic hatred. It is more often broad sympathy towards some broader skepticism toward others. So you got people who are empathetic to some people, but then you got people who are skeptical toward this other people who are suffering the same issues. And that's what we're going to talk about today. The quote is merely scratching the surface. Yeah. And the reason why it says racism is not merely a simplistic hatred is because it's not just something where you just say, I walk past somebody and I don't like them. It's not just that simple. You are like fueled. You've been
rooted in you.
It's rooted. You've been taught it so much. It has this real, real, real direct connection to your soul, because you care a lot about that, sweetie. You care.
Mm-hmm.
So we're gonna kind of talk about why we as Black people, I can cover my nail, have such a damning caring about other people who are going through the same things that we're going through, that who could give two fucks about what we're going through. Okay. So again, racism is not merely a simplistic hatred. It is more often broad sympathy towards some and broader skepticism toward others. What you say about that?
Like I say, it's rooted. It's deeply rooted in you. It ain't nothing you can do. Well, I guess it is something you can do about it. But once it's in you, it's in you.
Most times than none.
Yeah. And, you know, as we learn so much as kids from our parents and watching them and stuff. But, you know, kids, kids just innocent. They don't really know what racism is and stuff like that. They don't know until we start teaching them. And we telling them, oh, you don't, or white or black. Oh, no, you know, white people this or black people that. Or, it's just in you. It's in the DNA. It's in your DNA.
And a lot of times, you know, well, more times than anything, kids go to school, they play with who they like to play with.
Mm-hmm.
So when they go home and start talking about the people they playing with, that's when it become a little bit more of a issue. Because, you know, certain names gonna indignify what type of child your child playing with.
Yeah. Your child name plays a big part on a person can tell if your child black or white by that name.
And I mean, who cares? But that's just what it is.
But that's true.
Yeah, and I mean, because we're not going to change even how we name. Even as
children, think about your child. The older you get, job applications, just different stuff. And I got, it's funny because this lady reached out to me, wanted me to do her makeup some years ago. Now, I cannot remember her name. Her name was Toya Harris or something like that. Latoya something. Child, and she was a white girl.
You was confused. You were probably throat blown away.
It was funny because she said, girl, I know my name sound like a black girl, but girl, I'm just as white and country as possible. Girl, I couldn't do nothing but laugh. I couldn't do nothing but laugh. I said, girl, I sure thought you was a black girl because your name.
Yeah.
I cannot remember. I don't know if it was Latoya Brown or. But it was, I mean, it was a. I thought she was a black girl.
Because you don't find many. You don't.
I
find
don't know
many
no women. White girl named Latoya, girl.
You ain't find that.
Maybe find Tiffany. That. Maybe Tina. But Latoya. Not Latoya.
Not Latoya.
Nah. At all. They must was Jackson 5 lovers or something. I don't know.
So when them kids come home to tell their parents about such and such being their friend, that's when they're starting to be discouraged on who should be their friend. And they talk stuff like, you know, that's those people not for you. Da, da, da. Mm-hmm. We hate people like that. You got to follow in the path that we're taking. Da, 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 da. And it's beyond ridiculous, but that's just what it is. So kids do, you know, that empathetic feeling that they have it already. They're born with it. Everybody is born with empathy, except for the ones with the dark souls. But when you're taught racism is not merely a simplistic hatred. It is often, again, broad sympathy toward some and broader skepticism toward others. And that's, again, that's a quote by Mr. Tinashe Coates. And the quote was so, it stood out so much. What's up, E?
Hey, E.
It stood out so much because, for one, we as people, we tend to be, and I'm talking about as human.
Mm-hmm.
Human people are very sympathetic people. But when it comes to empathy, there's a little bit of a difference in how your sympathy and your empathy play a role. And we're going to get a little bit into, you know, the empathetic ways and how they regulate. But there's a very, very mild difference in the two, and the one thing is that empathy wants you to take a mile or take a walk in the person's shoes, try to have them understand it. Sympathy is just, you know, caring that you're hurting and you're going through these particular things. So when you can carry on empathy and you can have empathy, but you can be very cautious of who you give your empathy to,
you're questionable
to me. And that's why we know racism exists in empathy.
That's good. That's good.
Because it's so true. So jumping into the conversation, Empathy is a critical function relating human social life, regulating human social life. In particular, empathy for pain is a source of deep emotional feelings and a strong trigger of pro-social behavior. So, your socialization, the people you're around, what you're going through, what you've had a feeling of, the things that you've been around, the things that you've seen people be hurt by, you have a trigger warning for empathy for those things, but you're also going to be empathetic to the people you know versus the people you don't know.
That's true.
That's the pro-social version of it.
Mm-hmm.
But I was online and I was looking at this doctor online that was running a few tests. And the tests were, he took over 3,000 people and brought them into a room, mm-hmm. right? And they showed them different videos. They showed them different things that triggered. They showed them different ways that would give you the opportunity to show some type of empathetic fashion.
Mm-hmm.
And the results were exactly how most of us expect them to be.
I know us.
So I'm gonna dive into them. I'm gonna dive into them, Queen. So it says Caucasian observers reacted to pain suffered by African people significantly less than to pain of Caucasian people, even though it was the same type of pain. Okay. The reduced reaction to the pain of African individuals was also correlated with the observer's individual implicit race bias. The mm-hmm. role of others' race in moderating empathetic reactions is a crucial clue for understanding to what extent social interactions and possibly integration may be influenced by deeply rooted, automatic, and uncontrolled responses. So I feel like this. Cause that's strong.
Yeah. Yeah.
because it does give pure moral value to it. This is why we tested that. This is what happened during the test, blah, blah, blah. However, I feel like when you talk about trying to say that these are uncontrollable responses, that means to me that you're still giving them a pass.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's only an uncontrolled response, excuse me, if you have no knowledge, if your body has no knowledge of it being there.
Mm-hmm.
You responding to something, a response is a response, right?
That's right.
So if you responded to it, your body is giving that response. You send a
your body language gonna give it off before you even speak. Your body language, your facial expressions, everything. You ain't even got to say nothing. And your body language should say it all. Especially your face.
So how do we deem that an uncontrollable response?
Mm-hmm. That's crazy.
And those are things to me that keeps people able to use certain privileges to provoke why they're able to get away with certain
stuff. Mm-hmm.
Because you're saying that it may be influenced by deeply rooted automation or automatics and uncontrollable responses. So you're agreeing that they have deeply rooted issues, but then you're also backhandedly saying it's an uncontrollable response because of their deep rooted issues.
That don't make sense.
It don't. So, because that's what you can justify words with terms. You can justify a whole damn thing with just the way you word something.
Yeah.
So that,
and you all got to watch your words.
And if you make it make sense enough, people gonna run with it.
Yep.
And that to them made sense. So empathetic reactions were inferred by the skin conducive responses and they were observed. Video stimuli showing human students experiencing other either harmless or painful somatosensory stimuli. He said, a cop out. Exactly.
That's just what it is.
It is, E. It's exactly what it is.
That's what it is.
But observers view the video stimuli, so that means that they were either affected in a negative way or they were affected in a positive way. So their body language could be shifting because they enjoying what they see, or their body language can be shifting because it affects them. It makes them irritable to see it. So either they were trying to figure out which was happening.
Cause I was gonna say too, I'm thinking about if you say you got all these different people in the room. So it's different if it's just you in that room and they just watching you to see how your body language is gonna be as far as you watching this video or whatever they're telling you. But you in that room with other races and a lot of us too. Oh, you over there clenching, baby, because you don't want us to see that you over there enjoying it.
They didn't say how they did the test. They didn't say if it was like that'll be interesting to know. And then I didn't print out all of that. I was like focused on just the main portion of what we were discussing. But I do think that gives a little bit more realistic view to know if it was a group, test or if
tests
it was
or individuals.
Individual.
We all know if we in a crowd, white, black, Asian, whatever you are, something going on, all of us in a room, say all of us in here doing this test. The white people over there, it might be one on the side of you, one in the front of you, whatever. Man, they looking at you to see how you reacting. Cause they over there.
That's one thing about us though. We do not flinch up when we in the
room. We just look. Now our facial expression might be over there like, yeah, they crack back, they slip.
Well,
yeah, some bullshit here. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You look around that room, and they look around that room.
Look around, we be like, God damn, ain't none of us here. And then you know, but other than that, like as far as fear goes, nah.
Nah. But they would be.
Yeah, because they worry. It's a worry.
They worry. Cause see, they don't know how we going to react after we finish doing this test and all of us in this room together. When we step out this door, they don't know what our response is. Because just like you said, we ain't showing no fear. We ain't really showing that. We just look around the room. So they don't even know how to read half of us anyway.
Right. But that's the thing. You ain't got no business trying to. Because we ain't sitting here trying to read you. As long as you ain't doing nothing that's going to make you questionable to us, you are right. And that's the reason why we having this conversation. Because we got empathy. We don't have a derivative reason to be fearful or cautious of you unless you're giving us a reason to be.
A reason why.
So, but on the other hand, from the moment you see us and you in the room with a full of us, you automatically fear for your life.
Man, you over there clutching your pearls.
And you, and nine times out of 10, you will kill us on the street before we kill you.
Child, look, broad daylight.
You know?
Broad daylight. Don't care who's seen it. I'll get off.
Because they know they will.
Mm-hmm.
So what they did was, see, again, I don't see anything on this particular version of what I printed to say whether or not they were in group or single settings, but they did say the skin conducive responses were measured while the observers viewed the video stimuli. So they constantly showed them different video versions of situations and rated how they responded to the video, emotional, physical, and with the majority of their responses, they had a high stimuli, which means that there was a chemical reaction or reaction that showed that they either, that's why I got the two, said the two things that I said, that they didn't know, they didn't know, they weren't sure either they were enjoying it with their reaction or if they felt like they felt bad for the situation.
Yeah. That's interesting to know if it was a room full of people. But it more than likely, it probably wasn't. Mm-hmm. It probably was single individuals, or they had so many in a group that they did at one time.
At one time.
But that would be very interesting to know if it was a group setting, them doing this test or whatever you want to call it.
Right. It would be very, very interesting to know, because you could see how, again, it would be effective with who in the room. If it's, again, a group full of Black men and a couple white men, or if it's a group full of white men with a couple Black men, like, or a couple Black women, well, however the situation would have went, it would have been some type of fear tactic used anytime we have a white person in the room, because they're like, it's a visible tactic with that, especially if they're outnumbered.
Oh, yeah. Don't let it be a lot of us. It don't even have to be a lot of us. It could be a mix of Asians, Blacks, Spanish, and they scared still.
It's crazy. Oh. It said, and then it said that another thing that happens is a brain, when you see pain, this is another thing they was paying attention to, because I think this is why I think they did single testing, because they was checking brain stimuli and all of that. So they probably had them hooked up to a machine
or some sort.
Because they said that they were experiencing either harmless or painful sensory, but that put them in a position to where they were exposed to different pain activities that a brain network called pain matrix, which includes the anterior cortex of your brain, which is known to trigger variation in the skin, conducive nerves, which increases psychologic and automatic responses to someone else's pain. This shit got deep when they was testing.
And is that the left side of your brain?
It is. Yep.
Wow. I mean, that got real deep. So that's interesting just to even see the different waves of the emotions on the chart.
Yeah.
How it goes up and down from them watching what's going on. To see who have sympathy and who don't have the sympathy.
It's so really interesting to see.
Interesting to see.
Yes, Queen. Like, that's interesting. That's very interesting. So you were able to pinpoint certain things that you wanted to trigger during this test, and testing certain neurons and all of, you know, the different things that your brain is exposed to. And was it attacked to desensitize?
Was that E?
No, that's sad. Well, no, it wasn't attacked to I'm in a room. Hold on, shut up, E. I'm trying to respond to say it right now. says, was it attacked to desensitize? That's a good question, though. But this particular exam, this particular brain scan, brain exam was to test where your empathy went.
Empathy went
when it came to certain videos. So you were getting this brain scan on you that would show you harm and hurt and pain to different races, and it wanted to test on how your brain, your body, and your actions resulted from what you saw on video. So it was testing your empathy.
I would want to be in the room just to see every person different reaction from the male perspective, white, Black, whatever, to the white woman, the Black woman, Asian woman, all of that. That's interesting. That's very interesting.
And I know that they put out a broad, it had charts and stuff. So they put out a broad, a very broad statement on, you know, the testing of it, because it had different variations. It had the black woman, the different races. It was over 3,000 people tested
That's a
for
lot of
this
people.
particular thing, just to see on automation levels of how your brain reacts to certain functions. And relatively, to test something like that is to really see whether or not you human or not, to me. Like, do you have human effects? Are you exhibiting some type of mental situation as to why you cannot show any type of empathy to anything that's happening in these videos? So they looking for empathetic variations to certain races, but they also probably testing, so you know it's bigger than the test. It's normally bigger than the test. So they probably was looking for other things to see if
Yeah.
you are in a mental
I
capacity as
think
well.
that white man probably was over there like the blacks and the Asians, the Mexicans too. I hate the gases.
Godly.
That way he probably I'm just being real. I'm just being real. Like, 'cause they think they superior over everybody and everything.
So in that case, they shouldn't feel any type of threat when they're in the room with them then. Like, it shouldn't,
Do
if
though.
you feel so much superiority, why are you feeling threatened by anything that's happening?
That's true, but they do.
That's
They
stupid as
do.
hell. That's stupid as hell right there. Now you ain't gonna, I don't got no understanding, but it's true. I know they
Yes.
do, because it's very true.
Very true.
But I can't really respect that.
I just like, That's a good test though.
Yeah,
That's
I
very
think so too.
interesting to yeah, that just to know like what people really feel, people reaction to different things. We know what people reaction to different things from people just us just being around people from working and different stuff like that, but when nobody's not around.
Girl, Issa, he in a room full of white folks right now. E, how you feeling now?
Do you feel lost? Do
Yeah.
you feel empowered? Do you feel any sympathy, E? Like, how are you feeling? Or are you just like, man, I got this. I ain't studying y'all. Y'all beneath me. Like, which one is it? That'll be.
How you feel? Yeah, I'm sure you feel like E. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
It's not like
And it
we're
comes down to the
not,
confidence
because we
in
just
you.
don't feel threatened.
Yeah. And you know what? Us as a race, like we are some, and I think we done had this conversation before. We are the most forgiving people. No matter, people can do us wrong, and people have done us wrong all out for centuries. People have done us wrong. But we welcome everybody, no matter who they is. We are the most forgiving people, and we are the most people that have been done wrong the most.
We way more forgiving to other races, and we way more ruthless to our own.
To our own,
And
exactly.
that's
And
the
that's
problem.
crazy
It's like
part.
we expect so much better of ourselves, and we the ones that was kicked the most. But we expect us to be the most superior people, but we've been through the most. And that's very true. That's why I don't deal with that religious mess said, because that's exactly it. We've been taught to forgive the religion, and I'm not on that. I'm not on that. I'm not on just, oh, because the Bible says to forgive. Listen, you get one chance.
Yeah. Oh, I'm about forgiveness. Like you say, you get one chance. I know how to forgive and going on about my business, and I
But
just don't deal
that's
with
a
you no more.
different situation.
Yeah.
Like, but these people are forgiving and continuously dealing with people. And like, oh, it's okay. It only happened this time.
No.
Oh, and if I have become strong in my unforgiveness to my own family, you think I'm gonna deal with that with people on the street?
That's crazy. And that you said, and that's why the religious people, I call it the religious people, I call it the religious people and the church people, they all the same people. The Christian people, all the same people. People be like, what you is? I'm a believer of God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. That's what I tell people. Like, no, I'm not a Christian. I'm a believer.
Be cautious. And that's being cautious is what you have to be, though. To be perfectly honest, you being cautious is because this is me. Like, I trust everybody mm-hmm. And even when you cross me, I still trust that. I still trust mm-hmm. that you'll cross me. But the thing is that I'm going to always see you as for who you are. And I'm going to not, I don't try to put a veil over what you did and how you showed me. I'm going to remember that so I can deal with you accordingly.
I deal with you the way you showed me that I needed to deal with you.
But that's, we do that. But again, we deal with that amongst our own people, man. It's so many of us that forget just because they work with white folk or they got to deal with white folk or they doing certain things for white folk. They forget all about the things that white folk did. Like, you can't even call me a girl.
Mm-mm.
You can't be no white person calling me no girl.
Mm-mm.
That's disrespectful. Do I
look like a girl? By my name, ma'am.
If you don't, that's funny. If you don't know my name, just say ma'am until you know who I am. But don't address me as girl.
Don't address me as girl. And as my son said, he texted us one day last weekend in history class, Mr. T told them that the name Bubba was a slave name. And I just was like, I said, I never know. I was like, that's something. I said, well, when he was texting, I said, well, is you asking us or is you telling us that this is an enslaved name? He was like, I'm telling y'all because I just learned this. And I didn't know that about the word Bubba, because, and then as he said it and I read the text and thought about it, I was like, you know what? I had, Bubba.
It could be true.
It could be true. I thought about Forrest Gump, the movie Forrest Gump, and the black man name on that name was Bubba. I thought about that. I thought about a whole bunch of stuff. And I know some people that go by the nickname Bubba.
Yeah, I knew some people like that.
You know, so I was like, wow, that's Bubba is like you call, just like you said, don't call me girl. Don't call me Bubba. Don't call me boy.
I know.
Don't call me name either.
I don't understand. Like, it's so many people they're okay with it. Like, my grandmother used to say, my grandmother was one of those people who, if you younger than her, white woman, black woman, any woman, she not calling you miss. And not if you younger than her. If she know you younger than her, she not gonna put miss on it. But when you address her, you need to put miss.
We need to put miss. And you got a lot of people like that.
My grandmother cooked in a house on FSU campus at one of the sorority houses for 22 years. That was her occupation. So she, when she cooking for them, you think anytime they address her, it was Alina here or Alina there. Man, you got my grandma messed up. And it wasn't Miss Lena. It was Miss Johnson.
Call me by the last name.
Yes,
call me by the last name.
Because you're gonna demand the respect you deserve because that's the respect you deserve. Point blank. Period.
Yeah.
If you're allowing it to happen, it's going to easily roll off for them to continue. They'll do something else. It'll do something else. And then it's like you constantly showing empathy to this something you feel disrespected about.
Yeah. And you got to speak up. You got to lay them rules down right at the beginning. Look, this is what I need to be called. That's what when I get new patients, I always ask them, what do you like for me to call you? Do you want me to call you by your first name? Do you want me to call you by your last name? I'm always going to put Mr. or Mrs. or Miss on that, no matter if I call you by your first name or last name.
Right.
Only client. And a lot of them be like, oh, you can just call me by my first name. But like my client Bob that just passed, I used to always say Mr. Woodward. And then I thought, yeah, he was like, Candace, just call me Bob. We are family now. Just call me Bob. And so I'm like, okay, that's what you want to be called. I'm calling Bob. That's what you want to be called.
That's what he like. He wanted. That's
what he like. He say, I don't like you when you call me. He said, because I just don't feel like. What he told me something, and I was like, Bob. All right, you want to be called Bob? I'll call you Bob, or I'll call you your government name, Robert D. Woodward the Third.
They call him Bob.
They call me Bob. I was like, all right, call you Bob. Then.
It's about respect with that. Call me what I want to be called. Now, if you decide mm-hmm. to call me something different, I'm going to feel disrespected. I'm going to check you. And that's all that.
Because I'm not acting the same way. Even with
I don't know how people, I've been seeing so many, and like, I think everybody that has a human heart should have, you know, some type of sympathy for situations. But my empathy resides with my people.
Yeah,
I have sympathy for situational things that go on with other people and other races. Yes, when I see other people battling certain things, yes, I'm sympathetic toward that. I provide sympathy.
Yeah.
When I see my people going through stuff, I take action and I provide empathy. Because I know what looks like me and what affects me. And mm-hmm. and another reason that that's the case is because a lot of us are abandoned. If the world is abandoning us, how can everybody continue to? If you got the majority abandoning, why? What else are we gonna do with the minority of us? We can't abandon too. You know what I'm saying? So just because I care more about who looks like me doesn't mean that I care less about who don't.
It just means
that I have more concern. And concern for the people who look like me, because I know they're the least. We need more, and we have the less, have the least, and that's a bothersome situation. And if there was more empathy in the world, it wouldn't be like this anyway, to where people had to choose who to care about and things of that nature anyway. Because if there was more caring amongst our society, this wouldn't be going on.
Not at all.
This will not be going on. So I express great gratitude for the test being done, because it gives people the opportunity to see that, you know, what you have been taught to believe settles in your brain. It sits in your peripheral. When you look to the left and look to the right, you see different people who look like you, and you automatically have hate because we're raised to be that way.
And hate's such a strong word, but it's so true, because it's a strong word. Like I said, it's in your DNA. It's in their DNA.
It is. It's a very...
It's in their DNA.
And Black people can be racist, too. So when we get to a certain feeling, it's because of a lot of what they are continuing to systematically experience. Mm-hmm. So when they're dealing with constant racism, you end up picking up racism. You start hating everything that's sent to destroy you.
Everything. Like I told you about that man sitting next to me, that Black man, and how that Black man set up that I want to literally cuss him out. Oh no, I won't work for no niggas. Heck no, I ain't work for no Black people, man. And I'm just looking at him like, dude, you 50 something years old, and he could have been 60. You up here talking this shit, talking about you ain't working for no Black people, you won't work for Black people. I looked at that man and I was like, sir, excuse me, I got to go to the bathroom. Because I wanted to go off right then, but I said, Candace, you can't go off on this man. So it just excuse yourself from this conversation right here, because I ain't got time.
He ain't give a damn. He just and then like it's sir, if you feel that way, okay, feel that way, but keep that to yourself. Why is that gotta be a loud statement?
Like they ain't gonna listen. They just that I'm like, sir. I just looked at him like, I ain't shake my head. I ain't nod. I ain't do nothing. I just was like, all right.
Try.
Like
we hate ourselves so much.
And that's sad. And that's sad part. You hate your own self. The skin that you in when it's people out here trying to look like you, be like you, everything, want to have everything you got. They don't want the struggle though.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
They don't want the struggle.
Mm-mm. Not the struggle. Just the end of the ending result.
That's it. That's it. But they don't want the struggle and all that other stuff that you have to go through as a black woman, a black man, a black little girl, a black little boy. You don't want that, but you want all the other stuff. You want the material, I call it the material stuff of the black people. Crazy, man. Crazy. Listening to that black man, I'm sitting up here saying to myself, I hope you ain't got no damn churn, no grandchurn. I hope you ain't talking to nobody. Because see what that mess that you talking, that's why we where we at still now. Because that mess that you talking. Instead of us coming together and doing stuff and trying to better our community. Because of people like him is why we where we at still too. And it's so sad.
And when you saying stuff like that, you poisoning other people's minds and situations. Like, I was so frustrated yesterday at the tie shop. I was so mad. I was there for an hour or so waiting or whatever. And I was just like, at the end of the day, just put my other tie back on my car and let me go.
That part.
They didn't want to do that. So anyway, so I ended up, when I sent them the money in the memo section, I said, what you said, Queen?
What did you say to them people? Because I know you, Queen. I know you. Look, I might not say nothing, but you gonna say what the hell you got to say.
And I did.
You gonna give it to them 100.
And I did. I said with them fucked up ass ties.
Oh my God. What did they
do? But see, I'm a very, very conscientious person though. Like, it bothered me the day when I got up. I was like, dang, I gotta go say something to these people. Even though so by like 10:30 I drove over there. The owner was there and I told, because he wouldn't receive the message. He don't know what happened. He wasn't there.
Yeah.
So I tell him everything that happened. I apologize for my message.
Yeah.
Or whatever. But I let him know, like, you have very, very unprofessional people working for you, for one. I said, and two, I said, this is one of them quick in and out. Let me grab a tie because my tie just bust type of situation. I said, it shouldn't have been no, you didn't have nobody else here. It shouldn't have been no reason why I waited for an hour. But they took my tie off my car and I just was sitting there. So y'all, I got a problem with that.
So at
some point, I definitely showed my frustration, but never would I go and badmouth their business, down talk their business, and say, this is why I don't deal with black people and da 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 da. Because one thing about me, I'm about me, I'm about mine.
All day long.
I'm gonna share my frustration with you about your business. I ain't got to get on the internet to try to make a heavy post and try to degrade you for who your business is, because you had no idea what was happening that particular day. But when I get on Facebook and get on Instagram and go down talk this whole business about a particular situation that happened with one goddamn employee, and now you got a whole business suffering because this whole cancel culture society.
But we do that in our own backyard.
But continuously visit these white people establishments after they damn near spit in your face, talk about
you,
charge you. The Asians let you know that your money barely appreciated. They are speaking another language in your face before they even talk English to you, and they know English, trust me. So when you deal with me, you gonna speak English. You want my money. You gonna respect everything about me, baby, because one thing about this blackness, it ain't going nowhere. I'm big on me, and I'm gonna make you respect me. I don't care nothing about how you feel about everybody else, but this dollar that I got to go slave over to work hard for, you gonna respect everything about it. Or
come on now,
you walk out your establishment and you feel bad about that. Trust me, you do. You might act like you don't, but you care.
You do.
Yeah. Cause y'all greedy. Everybody but us act like we don't need money.
Oh, baby.
Somebody walk out.
Y'all crazy if y'all think y'all don't need it. I love it.
He say just like rappers who speak about the hood but don't want to stay one night there. Oh, don't we? That's a
child. Look, that's a whole nother subject.
And they, yes, just like them that speak about the, they, I mean, they rap about it. They and they live in big mansions and and probably even stay at Kiki in them house not one time, but they rap about staying at Kiki in them house.
Girl, don't know nothing about Kiki them.
Don't know nothing about Kiki them.
You just done heard the stories.
That's just been heard around people who've been talking about them.
That's it. That's all you've been doing. And that could have been your uncle them.
Suck it up. Look,
in the '80s, baby. What was going on in the '80s definitely ain't going on right now in the 2022s. Because, baby, you probably wouldn't even be able to survive in them 80s, baby.
But, you know, clout come in different forms than it did when we was growing up. Clout, now, you had to actually be doing somebody here to get clout. And now, you know, you can portray like you a killer. You can portray like you this and like that. Now, a lot of these young people is killers. Now, I ain't going to say too many of them not, but, you know. But you ain't got to live a certain... These days, you don't really have to live a life to rap about it. You don't got to do none of that. You could just say... Yeah. You could just go... Like, back when we was growing up, all these people ain't wear dreads.
Mm-mm.
I don't know if it was just me that noticed it, but I was like...
And I think now with that, because they not being discriminated against when it comes down.
I don't trust me.
Yeah.
There's a lot of them, kids.
I mean, people starting, like kids in elementary school wearing dreads.
But they mostly have those tiny little locks and stuff like that. The little locks and stuff. I'm seeing people like come straight out with the thick knots and
what do they call those? I forgot what them dreads called
when they thicken. Cause I like the whole dread thing. I like the whole natural thing. Period.
Yeah.
But I like the neat ones that hang.
They got to be neat now.
I don't gotta have the middle. I can put my hand inside and get stuck.
Look, I was watching my son the other morning in the bathroom, and you know he got a head full of hair. I'm just looking at him. He see me looking at him in the mirror. He was like, "Mom, what you looking at?" I say, "I'm just looking at you over there shaking your goddamn hair." That's what I'm doing.
All that damn hair. These boys look. They hair is big these days.
And every young man that I didn't see that's my son age from the age of 14 to 18 years old, hair is just like his. And I was just seeing people on social media post their sons, I was like, damn, all these children wearing the same damn hairstyle.
Damn, they get them same colors.
Colors. I won't let him dye it now. I won't let him dye it. No, you ain't gonna be doing all that.
That's true. Says the girls in the hood did y'all have back then. Straight up, y'all wasn't in no beauty salon. Saying when we was rocking them, we wasn't going to a beauty salon getting them done. No sir.
That's true. That's very true.
But I'm loving. I like the natural hair. I like the whole natural epidemic that's going on because I think that a lot of us are really into it on a different level, a spiritual path with it and trying to have being more in tune with themselves. Because a lot of them that's getting it in a later age, like they 40 something, 50 years old, get sister locks, regular locks, all those locks. And it's because it's a becoming of age thing for them. They have walked into a different glory. I think a lot of the children, it's a trend thing for them.
Yeah.
Because they're doing more of the, and with the doing this and One, they had to be a certain type of way, and you know, for different reasons, and when it, and it's more trendy.
Yeah, and a lot of women, they was dealing with, I know what this, a lot of women that's doing the drip, just tired of the weave.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them suffering from scalp disorder, like alopecia, mm-hmm. different stuff like that, rosacea, and stuff like that. So I know a special black women, like a lot of, to see the movement of natural hair, the sister locks, and I don't even like this. I personally don't like the sister locks. For myself, for myself. But when I see everybody else, well, I'm like, girl, right. It's nice. Like, because my aunt have them, and it's a lot of people down back home where I'm from. It's a lot of them that have them. But a lot of them, that's why, because I can just remember some that I do know that have them had long, thick hair as kids. But, you know, wearing the mm-hmm. weave, not really yeah, taking care of your hair. Getting the relaxers and stuff like that, alopecia and all of that stuff, you know. So a lot of them went to the sister locks, and they now their hair is more healthier, and them as a person is more healthier as well. Because
yeah,
getting
those chemicals, a lot of them went
yeah, those chemicals
that's
and stuff can affect everything, affect your whole body
mm-hmm.
and stuff with those chemicals and stuff. So it's a beautiful thing. Like every time I see somebody that then posted some sisters with. You got 100 sisters that got they fro out. Baby, I'm finna repost this thing because I love to see the fro. The fro, the braids, the sister locks, the dreads, whatever them big things they call them, dreadlocks. I just call them big dreadlocks. Whatever said they were.
The wigs.
But it's just, it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful
thing. I like that people are embracing the culture. And, not just embracing the culture, but learning more about who they are, becoming more rooted in themselves and ancestral things. And also just being able to say, this is something I did and this is who I am because of it. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, our growth and our past and our directions tend to change as we get older because of the wisdom and the influence that we've had in our lives. So as we get older, you do start to embrace different things that are more natural and more healthier because you're trying to live a healthier,
yeah,
older
life. Yeah.
So
you should.
I want to leave you all with a thought because remember when I spoke earlier, it said that there are unconscious racial thoughts and people feel like those are unconscious. So my question and my thought to you all is, do you believe in unconscious racial prejudices? Do you believe that they reside in empathetic situations? Do you think that people are unconsciously allowing their body to be a certain type of way when they're showing their empathy?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that it is an unconscious thing? Do you think that we don't have any control over how we show we feel? Or do you feel like
it depends on the situation? I think it depends on the situation. Because if it's something that just then caught you off guard, it's going to be a different reaction.
Meaning?
To something that you didn't sit there, seen, and you didn't pondered over.
So that's not an empathetic response then. If you pondering over it, it's not something that's happening in a quick situation.
In a quick situation.
So, like if you're watching a video and the what happens immediate, you don't have time. When they're testing, when these people was being tested, your testing was done on your initial response.
Your first thought.
So not you sitting waiting. So if I see a person in a car accident and I'm driving by and I see like a 3-man car accident, is my empathy supposed to be, am I supposed to just show empathy or should I wait until I see who in the car?
Oh, no. Because I can see a car pulled on the side of the road. They flashing lights. I'm like, oh, Lord, I hope they okay. God, please let them be okay. That's my first reaction. And you could just be pulled over just because you're trying to take somebody. But I don't know that. But anybody I see just then pulled off the side of the road, they got them flashes on, I immediately think it's something and I hope they okay.
Right. But in that particular situation, that's a conscious situation, you saw something, you felt empathy, and you good.
Mm-hmm.
But how do I see that? And now my display of empathy goes unconscious because of who it is. How can it become, how can I trigger and turn those on and off at the speed of light? Mm-hmm. It won't work like that.
Mm-mm.
So think about that. That's the thought I
want. And all of us human beings, like it, that's crazy. That's like the situation that happened. I don't know when this actually happened, but I remember watching it on IG when the man was in the truck. I think the man had a heart attack or a stroke, and he was on, I don't know if it was down, I want to say it was down south. And the people stopped in the middle of 95 and got out trying to actually like help this man and stuff. And you see more of us out there.
It's always us.
We out there trying to like help, and people just passing by. Just passing by.
And half of people that keep passing by look like him. But that's what I'm saying. Regardless of the situation, that goes back to further explain my point. In an empathetic situation, it's going to be Black people jumping out when it comes to different races, because we so used to showing empathy to a lot of the people who kept us down. That's our show, ladies and gentlemen.
Wow.
Appreciate y'all tuning in. Y'all take that thought with y'all. Just keep that in the back of y'all mind. If a person is empathetic, that's because they have sincere empathy. If a person is not treating you with any empathy at all, they don't give a damn about you. Trust me. They're looking at the color of your skin to make a decision on how they want to treat you. That's not empathy.
That's crazy.
That's hidden racism.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that racism, again, if you go back to our quote of the day, we know that racism is, let me go back to it.
It does exist, people. It does exist. Don't let nobody tell you that it doesn't.
It never left. It never stopped.
And it'll never leave.
No. No.
It does exist. It's sad, but hey, that's what it is.
So we appreciate y'all tuning in. Thank y'all so much. We will see y'all next Wednesday. It is the month of March. Your girl turned 40 this month, y'all. Just FYI.
It's Women's Month. It's Women's Month.
And it's Women's History Month. And so make sure y'all, every time you see a Black woman, celebrate a Black woman all month long, period. Oh. And we mean that. And we stand on that. Make sure you do your due diligence. And is there a Men's History Month? If not, we might need to create one.
We might just need, look, it might just need to be May.
I know we do one on Freedom Train Network, but but I know, I don't think there's a physical one that's nationally
celebrate.
Yeah. So we might have to get that push hours a little bit more so y'all can make sure y'all get y'all recognition and everything. But thank y'all for tuning in. We always appreciate y'all. We like you. We love you. We appreciate you. Y'all be safe this week. Continue to be great. Mm-hmm. And always, 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 always. Remember, Black Power, baby.
Mm-hmm. And Wednesday is SW Podcast Day. Remember SW that.
SW Podcast Wednesday. Never forget. We'll see y'all next Wednesday, 6:30 live. Check us out. Peace.